after all these philosophical speculations, Mother Yashoda fully surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nasta Smritihi. Having gotten rid of the memory of seeing the universal form within Krishna's mouth. Gopi, Mother Yashoda, Sadhi, Arupya, Siddhi, Aroham, on the lap, Atmajam, her son, Pravritta, increased, Sneha, by affection, Kalila, affected, Riliha, the core of her heart, Asit, became situated, Tapura, as she was formerly. Translation. Immediately forgetting Yogamaya's illusion that Krishna had shown the universal form within his mouth, Mother Yashoda took her son on her lap as before, feeling increased affection in her heart for her transcendental child. Can you repeat? Immediately forgetting Yogamaya's illusion, that Krishna had shown the universal form within his mouth, Mother Yashoda took her son on her lap, as before, feeling increased affection in her heart for her transcendental child. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Chita Prabhupada Gita Jaya. Mother Yashoda regarded the vision of the universal form within Krishna's mouth as an arrangement of Yogamaya like a dream. As one forgets everything after a dream, Mother Yashoda immediately forgot the entire incident. As her natural feeling of affection increased, she decided to herself, "Now let this incident be forgotten. I do not mind. Here is my son. Let me kiss him." Sajyo nashta smriti gopi sarupya roham atmajam pravada sneha kalikla liya se nyata pura. So Om Ganata Madandasya Banamjana Shalakaya Chakshur and Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So when I first read this verse, you know, especially the nashta smritir, it reminded me of the verse in the Bhagavad Gita at the end, text 73, the last chapter. Nashto moha smritir labda. You understand? So it's a very similar statement. So, of course, that's Arjuna's statement. He says, nashto moha. In other words, I've overcome illusion, you know, I've gotten rid of the illusion. And smritir labda, I'm remembering, I'm knowing. Your position, of course, the translation is, "My dear Krishna, infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt, and I am prepared to act according to your instructions." Of course, that was actually due to Krishna's instructions, whereas here, Mother Yashoda giving up the, the understanding or remembrance that she had seen the universal form is just due to pure, like, attachment. So, you know, of course, instructions are good too, but Yashoda's position is actually superior in this regard. She's come to the higher understanding, not due to philosophy, but due to just, like, pure, unadulterated attachment, loving, you know, maternal affection for Krishna. So I was thinking about this in regard to humility and really bhakti, because humility is actually an essential item of bhakti. So I was thinking, putting myself in the situation where I would see the universal form, I wouldn't forget it. I would probably just go around telling everyone about it. I'd probably, you know, the next morning in class, I'd probably say, "Guess what, Prabhus? I was looking at Gary Raj today, and I saw the universal form, you know. So in other words, this Aishvarya, for most of us, including myself, would overcome any sort of like intimate understanding of Madhurya. You know, just like we have the word, the Lord is worshipped in the mood of Aishvarya and Vaikuntha planets. And Madhurya is the sweet mood, and of course Adarya is the compassionate mood of the Lord manifest in Sridhar Mayapur. So I was thinking of how pure this love is and how this is really the essence of Bhakti Yoga. Because many times we think the essence of Bhakti Yoga or important aspect is to become very erudite in Sanskrit. Think if I become erudite in Sanskrit, then I can actually understand Krishna. First of all, nobody understands Krishna. Yashoda Maya doesn't understand Krishna. I don't understand Krishna. Nobody understands Krishna. Like Lord Brahma said, you know, others may say that they understand Krishna, but I don't. You know, so you can love Krishna. And even Krishna in his expansion as Ananta Shesh doesn't understand Krishna. So as far as understanding the infinite, we can't do that. Krishna is infinitely expanding at each infinite moment. His glory is anyway. So you get the idea. So I was listening this morning to Prabhupada's class. Prabhupada's class was going to be about this humility and this attachment to one's knowledge. And then Prabhupada cited the story of how Lord Chaitanya showed the humility of a devotee and attachment to the order of the spiritual master. Anyway, so it was the story of Lord Chaitanya meeting with Prakashananda Saraswati. Now, Prakashananda Saraswati was the head of all the impersonalist Mayavadis of Benares. And they were very much attached to the Vedanta Sutra. You know, just talking about the Vedanta Sutra all day long. Nothing wrong with the Vedanta Sutra. Prabhupada said it's very difficult to understand because it begins with the Tattva Brahma Jnana. Now is the time to look for the absolute truth. It's written in codes, not Morse codes, but it's written in codes because people who are capable of understanding the Vedanta Sutra are so intelligent that they can just take one little sutra. Sutra means like a short, pithy statement. It also means thread. And it's something that holds things together. But anyway, so a short statement and they'll understand, yeah, that's it. So if we hear like a Tata bringing Brahma Jnana, okay, now's the time to look for the absolute truth. Okay, let me go to the latest bookstore. Of course, no more bookstores. Let me go to Google. I mean, this is one of the impetuses I had before joining the movement. I had to look for the absolute truth. So I went to the bookstore and I would hang around the bookstores all the time and the libraries and everything like that. So in other words, I didn't know where to look. It's like a man looking for buried treasure, like the example given in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya about the Sarvagya, the astrologer tells the man, you have your father buried a treasure for you. You shouldn't be poor anymore. But he tells them where to look. So you don't. So Tattva Brahma Jnana, unless you know where to look, you're not going to be able to work. And then Jamna Jasa Yataha and Bayat. So, and then what is that absolute truth? That absolute truth is from whom everything comes. Huh? What does that mean? So the Mayavadis, they're very proud of their. Of course, they base their knowledge on what's called the Sarvabhaumika Bhasha. That is the commentary by Shripad Shankaracharya on the Vedanta Sutras. And we base our knowledge on the commentary of the Vedanta Sutras known as the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is actually the commentary. Of course, there's also Govindabhash, written by Baladeva Vibhushana, which is the commentary spoken by Govinda, the Govindaji. So, anyway, so getting back to the story, so the Mayavadis, they're just very proud of their knowledge. And in fact, they even call each other Narayana. Om Narayana. You're Narayana. I offer my businesses to Ryan. Imagine if we did that, you know. You know, Ryan humbled me. So, you know, I am that I am. Of course, even in the Bible, you have that statement, I am that I am, right? Where, I think it was Moses asked the burning bush, you know, who you, I am that I am. So, anyway. So, these impersonalists, they're very proud of their knowledge. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to show us the actual process of humility and devotional service, when he went in to see Prakashananda Saraswati, actually he didn't want to see, but the devotees convinced him to go see. He was actually requested by the devotees because they were blaspheming Lord Chaitanya. Because, why were they blaspheming? Because here is a sannyasi in our Shankara's school, and what is he doing? He's just dancing with, like, sentimental people. Just dancing and chanting. So, anyway, so Lord Chaitanya came in to Prakasananda Saraswati's assembly, and he sits down right next to the place where the feet are being washed. You know, it's a very dirty place. You know, why do they wash feet in India? You know, why do we wash feet? Because in India, traditionally, people didn't wear shoes. That's why we don't have to foot washing outside of the temple here. Because we wear shoes, hopefully. Actually, one of my godbrothers doesn't wear shoes. But that's another issue. Because he wants to hurt all the time. But, you know, we wear shoes. So anyway, so there's always a place in each assembly. If you're going to Tirumala, so if you go into Tirumala, there's water running on the ground, or not on the ground precisely, but at the entrance of the temple that washes your feet as you go into the temple. So automatically your feet get washed. And if you want the real nectar, you just take some water and drink it. And you get the foot washing water of all the Vaishnavas. So that's a very powerful substance. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya sat down where there was the feet were being washed, the feet had been washed. And in a dirty place, in a very humble way, of course, it wasn't so humble for him to show his effulgence like but he was trying to show humility to me. So this is really important, this humility. Manina, Manadena, Kirtaniya, Sadhavi. So he was showing humility, and therefore Prakashananda Saraswati went and took him by the arm and brought him. He says, why are you sitting down in this place? And then he said to him, I have a question for you. And the question is, why are you dancing and chanting with so many sentimentalists? Why did you just like get into Vedanta like the rest of us? And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said something very, very interesting. He said, my spiritual master examined me. And he said I was a fool. So this is also interesting. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu definitely did not have fool pastimes in his past before he took initiation. He was renowned for having defeated all the pundits, especially there was this Keshava Kashmir, who came from Kashmir. It's interesting, Kashmir is a very beautiful place, and it's very cold there. It's interesting that in many places, in many countries, you find most of the philosophers, maybe not so much in India, but most of the philosophers or logicians, they come from colder climates. Like in America, you see that too. The colder climates. And when you get to real hot climates, I guess people's brain is too hot to think properly. Too much engaged in sense gratification. When it's cold, you're actually like inside all the time. And you're studying a lot. So anyway, he came from Kashmir. And he was a concrete pundit. And Lord Chaitanya, just in a very nonchalantly said, you know, why don't you compose 100 verses in glorification of Mother Ganga? So he composed 100 verses. And then Lord Chaitanya said, well, and he pointed out one of the verses. I forget which verse, 51st or something like that. Well, the 51st verse, can you recite that again? I said, yeah, there's problems in that, you know. There's, you know, you have too much alliteration, or you repeat things, and there's grammatical mistakes. And the guy was just like, shocked. Also because he was a devotee of Saraswati. And Saraswati, Mother Saraswati, guaranteed that no one could defeat him. And so he went that night and said, you know, Mother Saraswati, what's up? And Saraswati said, you're messing with my husband. She didn't use the word messy, but you know, that's a similar type conception. And so you should go, anyway, so he was called Nimai Pandit. Now, not that everybody gets the name Pandit. Pandit is like a title given to very erudite personalities. Just like I was just reading with Gopal Champa doing this narration, how Krishna and Balaram, we came to the chapter where Krishna and Balaram went to Sandipani Muni's ashram at Avantipur, it's called Avantipur, to study. And it's interesting, there it describes that they didn't tell anybody who they were. They were introduced to Sandipani Muni, and they said, who are you? And he said, he's the black and I'm the white. You know, Balaram and Krishna. And Sandipani Muni identified sort of that they were Kshatriyas, but he just put two and two together. They were the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they, you know, they were doing so many amazing things. Anyway, so they knew, they had all the knowledge before, but they appeared to learn it in 64 days. And that story is in the Krishna book. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the most erudite person. Yet, he said to Prakashananda Saraswati, that my spiritual master called me a fool. And he said, just chant Hare Krishna. You know, so this is really an interesting lesson. And Prabhupada, in the class I was listening to, compared it to the initiation of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. How? Because Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was told by his father, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, that you have to accept Gaurakishoredas Babaji Maharaj as your spiritual master. And Gaurakishoredas Babaji Maharaj was not completely illiterate, but Prabhupada said in this class he couldn't even write his own name. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was practically the most erudite scholar of all time. And, you know, he wrote a commentary on the Siddhanta. So, anyway, he... Surya Siddhanta, and he just amazing personalities. He had a photographic memory. He learned English by reading the dictionary. Can you imagine that? To me it'd be boring. Read the dictionary, every word. That's why he came up with words that nobody's heard before, which were actually English words. Even Prabhupada said, you know, he couldn't understand a lot of the stuff that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was. He needed a dictionary to actually follow him. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, of course he was humble. I'm not saying that he was proud, but he himself said that his spiritual master, that his father, told him to take shelter of Gaurakishoredas Babaji Maharaj as an act of humility, to teach him humility. He said, I was very proud. This is his words. I'm not saying he was proud, because he's an interested in devotee. So he said, I was very, very proud of my learning and everything like that. And then my father sent me to Srila Gaurakishoredas Babaji Maharaj. And not only did he send him to him, but Gaurakishoredas Babaji Maharaj refused to accept him. You know, so you put yourself, of course, I'm not saying this was his mentality, you know. Let's say if I had a PhD from Cambridge. So, and then I approached a guru and said, you naturally, I would think, This guru is fortunate to have me as a disciple. And this Guru Maharaj, I want to surrender you to be a disciple. Let me ask Lord Chaitanya about it. And so then he comes back again and says, well, what did Lord Chaitanya say? Well, I forgot to ask Lord Chaitanya. You know, like, that's really like a slap in the face, isn't it? Here I am, so educated. Of course, I'm not saying that was his mentality. But I'm saying this is the example, like Lord Chaitanya's example with Prabhupada Saraswati. Here I am, so educated, and Guru didn't even ask Lord Chaitanya? What's happening here? And then he comes back another time, and what did Lord Chaitanya say? He said, no. Oh my God. Oh my God. You know, this is really like a lesson in humility for all of us, isn't it? And then he finally asked and says, if you don't accept me, I'm going to give up this life. You know, there's some stories he threatened, you know, to jump off a cliff. But anyway, my life has no. And so finally, he got initiation from him. And so, you know, the Prabhupada said this was also similar to the story, you know, has many parallels. It's like parallels to the story of Lord Chaitanya approaching or telling the story about how he approached his spiritual master. He said, you're a fool, just chant Hare Krishna. And then the story goes on that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, so I started chanting Hare Krishna and then experiencing all these different symptoms of bhava, anubhava, prema. And I said to the spiritual master, what kind of mantra did you give me? Of course, Lord Chaitanya knew about this before, but he, I mean, obviously he was a didactic. He was a teaching example for Prabhupada. So what kind of mantra are you giving me? I'm just going crazy. And the spiritual master said, I'm very pleased you've achieved success. So in other words, he was showing Prakasananda Saraswati that it was the bhakti that's important, not the gyan. You know, many times we think the gyan is important, so we go to a PhD, just to please our parents. Anyway, so, but it's not. I mean, the gyan, yes, Prabhupada said the same lecture, it was a wonderful lecture Prabhupada was giving. The gyan can sometimes assist the bhakti. You know, because it's important to understand, like we mentioned, the tattvas, the siddhanta of Krishna consciousness, sambandha gyan. Yes. You have to know basic tattvas. You have to know who Krishna is, what the jiva is, what the relationship is between Krishna and the jiva, what the relationship is between the jiva and the material energy, what the relationship is between Krishna and the material energy. You have to know what kala is, time. You have to know what karma is. I mean, these are the basic tattvas. And this actually lecture was given by Prabhupada because someone had challenged Prabhupada that his disciples, they were not very expert, they didn't know Sanskrit. So how can they become Krishna conscious? This was the challenge that Prabhupada was given. Your disciples don't know Sanskrit. You know, like many times people try to put down Prabhupada's disciples. You know, there's that example in Vrindavan in the temple. They said, if you do your devotional service nicely, in your next life you'll take birth in a Brahmin family or anything like that. And Prabhupada said in response, if he does his devotional service nicely, next birth he'll take birth in the West and serve the Krishna conscious movement. But anyway, so, you know, people many prideful like scholars made that a particular stumbling block, or in their minds it was a stumbling block. You had to become Sanskrit expert, or expert in philosophy like that to be Krishna conscious. But here you see Yashodamai, she's just like rejecting, you know, the philosophical understanding that Krishna's God. Isn't it? And she says, you know, so here's the universal form. To me, you know, I probably bring my camera out to shoot the universal form. Stream it live, right? On Facebook, you know, I do all those things. So here she's just like, you know, this is inconsequential. Immediately forgetting Yogamaya's illusion. Wow. Could we immediately forget something so fantastic? I'm joking aside about putting it on the internet and everything. It would be something that, you know, we'd remember our whole lives. Just like some, one of my disciples wrote me, she had seen a dead body and she couldn't get it out of her mind. She said, how can I get it out of my mind? So this is how we get illusion. And of course, we don't have the problem with Yogamaya's illusion. We have the problem with Mahamaya's illusion. With bhakti. And of course, that bhakti right now, we haven't realized, obviously we haven't realized our siddhateya, at least I haven't. So what does that mean? The bhakti is to please Krishna and please the spiritual master. And Prabhupada, this was a class, an amazing class by Prabhupada. Prabhupada was saying, a devotee doesn't want to go back to God. Of course, at other times, Prabhupada said, you should want to go back to God. But Prabhupada was referring to that. A devotee simply wants to please Krishna. You know, of course, that's Lord Chaitanya's statement. Mama janmani janmani shvarai bhavata bhakti kaitiki. In addition, Prabhupada said, to a pleasing Krishna, a devotee, he was quoting from the Acharyas when he said, a devotee only has one request when he's pleasing Krishna. And that request is to always have the association of devotees. In other words, he doesn't make any other request for his future births. Let me serve you, of course, that's a request. But as far as a personal request, it's, you know, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, what kita janmoha yata tuya das. Let me become a worm even in the house of a devotee. And then, you know, you have those statements by Rupa Goswami that living with non-devotees is like living in a cage full of tigers or something like that. And you have Lord Chaitanya's statement, a satsang with jagi vaishnava char, one should give up as a religious principle the that association. Anyway, so the point is that this is bhakti yoga, with devotion, with a desire to please. And here's Yashoda Maya, her affection is not based on being pleased. Like in the material world, we become affectionate many times because we want to be pleased. Like we're affectionate towards, like a cat or a dog or whatever. You know, I often give the example of, you know, people are affectionate towards cat because cat is really furry and the fur is, right, Gopo. Gopo, he came to the moon with a cat. Tom is his name. He's carrying him everywhere in a little box. It's like a Brahmin carries his shilas around. Yeah, the story. Brahmins carry shilas around in the box. So he's carrying a Tom. Bhakti Tom. In a box. So, but we're attracted to that because it pleases us. You take that same fur away from the cat. You buzz him up. You know, he already has a sika. So, you know, and it's not pleasing. But affection here, the affection is, let me protect him. Because this is like a mother's love. Just like I was speaking to one mother last night, and understanding what a mother's love was. She was telling me that when she had her children, she would carry them around, like, all the time on her. It's nice. So it didn't get heavy after they got 8 or 10 years old. We get back problems. Anyways, so the mother's love is simply the welfare. Even we can learn from that, isn't it? It's called attachment parenting. So the mother's love is simply the welfare of the child. She just neglects her own happiness. There's one story that one time a child got trapped under a car or something, and this lady picked up the car, or corner of the car. She didn't just pick up the whole car. Otherwise, the whole would worship her as one of the superheroes. She picked up the corner to free her child. So that's love. She doesn't consider, you know, what's going to happen to her body, her back, her strength, or anything like that. So this is actually Krishna consciousness right here. She says, decided, let this incident be forgotten. I don't mind. Here is my son. Let me kiss him. That is Krishna consciousness right there. And that's, to come to that point, we have to give up all sense of I am mine. That's a mother's love, and that's the love that Yashodamai has. No sense of I am mine, which means no pride. You know, pride is an outgrowth of the conception of this false ego conception of I am mine. So, anyway, so somehow or other, we have to do that. Is the perfection. Yeah, you know, just like I was speaking to someone yesterday whose father left, probably who mentioned that the other day in class. And he said, has he gone back to Godhead? Has he gone back to Godhead? I said, I don't know. You know, even Prabhupada, when he was talking about Jayananda, didn't say, definitely he went back to Godhead. You know, he said at one point, well, he's remembering Krishna to go back to Godhead, but even if he had some tint of material desire, you know, Prabhupada went into this whole philosophical thing. I said, but because he was leaving the body remembering Krishna, he's serving Krishna. That is perfection. Right now, you know, well, probably in the womb of some lady, but anyway, he'll be serving Krishna. That's perfection. That's all we want. I said, you know, this whole conception, is someone getting out of this material world? Well, that is out. But that's called Jiva Mukti. Anyway, so we only have 2 minutes left. Any questions about this? Yes.
You said earlier, in the first period, so much that no one can understand.
Completely. Yeah. You can understand limited amounts.
So we see that some of the entities, second part of Krishna, we have this burning need to be understood.
Yeah.
So we're getting everything that we have from Krishna, we have this need to be understood. How does Krishna's need to be understood?
We have this need to be loved. That transcends the need to be understood. Understand? No, I'm not saying we shouldn't have it. Actually, Prabhupada said, something wasn't Prabhupada. Someone said, first we should try to understand, and then, you know. So, Krishna has a need to be loved. Love is actually the. I would say love would be understood to the infinite degree. When you take understanding to the infinite degree, it becomes love. I mean, that's my speculation. That's speculation. And there's no Shastric statement about that.
It's unconditional.
Yeah, it's unconditional. You know what? I would rather have a mother who loves me than a mother who understands me. At least you should understand what I want. Yeah.
Last night we were reading the temple. We happened to be in Sunday the first day when we were going to Vaishnava's last one.
Yes.
And
that's interesting.
And they started and talking about how the spiritual master told him to chant. And so he says, Krishna mantra, japa sala, a mantra sala. So here, this you must always chant.
Wow.
So, yes.
Great. Thank you very much for that. That's interesting. You were discussing the same thing last night at the temple. And I didn't know. I didn't watch you.
No, it's just
Yeah.
We really experienced the evening.